When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us, like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done from the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war, and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, and cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey their voice and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go, every man to his city." You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, God.
Into your hands.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus taught his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he will be thrown away like a branch and wither. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. What is the chief characteristic of God's people? Based on Jesus' teaching in John, we might say, abiding in him, or hearing his voice and following him. Ideally, according to God's will, it would be so. Today's reading from 1 Samuel, however, suggests a different answer. According to this reading, what would you say is the chief characteristic of the people of God? Rebellion. Refusal to listen. Refusal to follow the word of the Lord. Unfortunately, it's not just the reading from 1 Samuel that shows this. Like me, you perhaps experienced a powerful sense of deja vu as I read the Lord's words to Samuel. The people have not rejected you, the Lord told him, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that I have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Again and again in the book of Exodus, we read of the people complaining against Moses and against the Lord about food or drink or danger or enemies. Or those good old days when life was so cushy back in Egypt, in slavery. As time went on, they even complained about that miraculous food he provided, manna, provided as their daily bread for decades. As you know, things didn't get better when the children of Israel got to the Promised Land. God gave them victory over the mighty walled city of Jericho. And Achan stole for himself what was to go into the Lord's treasury, or had been commanded to be destroyed. The whole book of Judges is about the repeated rebellion of Israel. Everyone doing what was right in his own eyes, rather than abiding by the word of the Lord. Records that when the Lord sent hardships on the nation, eventually the people would repent. Then the Lord would have mercy on them, sending a judge to deliver his people from their enemies. There would be rest in the land until, as the final verses of the book of Judges record, once again everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so it went, over and over and over again. And so it still goes today. Doing what is right in your own eyes involves exalting your judgment of the things above the Lord's. Fearing, loving, and trusting pleasure or possessions or power more than the Lord, using his name however you please, rather than only with fear and reverence. Considering his word as something you can take or leave, something not all that important. Not honoring those in authority. Hating rather than helping and protecting. Being unchaste and lustful. Rather than sexually pure. Taking what belongs to another rather than helping them to protect and preserve their property. speaking ill of others rather than defending them, and speaking of them in the kindest way, being discontent with what the Lord has given you, because you want what he has not provided you the ability to possess. For all of this, you and I deserve to be thrown away like a branch and gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. But what did the Lord tell Samuel? It wasn't that he was rejecting his people because they had rejected him as their king. It wasn't that he would destroy them and start all over again, raising up a new nation from the most righteous, that is, the least sinful, in the land. No, the Lord had mercy on them. Fearsome mercy, to be sure, but mercy. He would let them have their own way. But he warns them what will happen, that their king will be like the kings of the other nations, that he will demand taxes and conscript their sons and daughters to serve him, that he will appropriate their fields and vineyards and orchards and servants. Furthermore, he tells them that when they are in distress and complain about all this, he will not deliver them. Because they were rejecting him as their king, the Lord would allow a demanding, self-serving taskmaster to rule over them. But they ignored this warning and demanded, "There shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Isn't that exactly what the Lord had been doing, lo, these many years? Judging them and going out before them and fighting their battles? Yet they rejected the Lord. But he did not reject them, did not gather them and throw them into the fire and burn them. He did not destroy them. He disciplined them, though he gave them good kings as well as bad ones. Above all, he continued to keep his promises. Though his people were faithless, the Lord remained faithful, still merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. How is this possible for one who is holy and righteous? How could he remain so and yet not gather them and throw them into the fire? The answer is divine forbearance. The sins of the people, your sins, my sins, would all be punished. It didn't happen immediately, but in time a king, a son of David, was given on whom the Lord laid the iniquity of us all. He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions, was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord has bared his holy arm in a manger and on the cross, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God, and that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's true, gloriously true. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. to life everlasting.
Amen.